so much. If you've come in here weary, I want to tell you that God is not done working on your situation. And I'm going to ask you to do what we always do. You know, repetition, repetition, repetition. That's what my math teacher used to tell me. We won't get into if that worked or not, but it's going to work for you. So let's stand to our feet. We do this every single Sunday morning. And we're doing this because in a week's time, there are so many things that can make you feel like you just want to lay over and just give up. There's so many times that the devil comes to discourage you and to get you to just want to quit. So I'm going to just ask you to let that come up off of you right now. I'm going to begin to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you, Lord, for every single person, God, under the sound of my voice, whether that's by Facebook Live, God, YouTube, Lord, our app, God, or just right here in this sanctuary, this very moment. God, I ask that you would walk down every single aisle, Lord, search every single heart. God, for the people, Lord, that they need more peace in their life. God, I call down that peace right now in Jesus' name. God, that passes all understanding. Lord, I tell it to guard their heart. God, I tell it to guard their mind. Lord, for every person that's out of here sick, God, I ask that you would do what only you can do, which is heal their body, Lord. Spirit, soul, mind, body, God, all of it. Lord, for every person, God, in this city that is addicted to drugs, God, I ask that you would saturate this city, God, this town, Lord, our county, God, every surrounding county, Lord, I ask that you would saturate it with who you are. Lord, for every dope dealer, God, in this county, God, I ask that you would save them. Lord, I ask right now that you would cause them to have a change of heart. Lord, every person, and they woke up today and their family is dead because they OD'd. Lord, I ask that you'd comfort them right now in Jesus' name. Lord, for every person, God, and they want to be free, Lord, I ask that you'd make them free, Lord, today. And we thank you, God, and we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, in 2019, I've told the story so many times, so I won't go over every detail of it, but I, at the beginning of 2019, I said, God, what do you want me to pray for? What do you want me to do? Many people have New Year's resolutions. I used to have those, but I noticed I never stuck to them. So I quit having those, and I just asked God for his wisdom. Lord, what would you have me to ask of you? And he said, Kelly, ask me for Logan County. You know, you have not because you ask not. That's what the Word says. The Word says, ask of me. Ask of me. And I began to ask God for Logan County. Now, you know, every time that a pastor gets behind a pulpit and they actually get to the preaching part, a small miracle has occurred. Because there's so many things that come against a pastor right before they got to preach. And I've heard many concerning things this morning. I've heard about people ODing and dying. I've heard about people ODing and being in the hospital. I've heard of our deacon, Brother Charlie, that we love, having some awful pneumonia. I've heard of all different things. But you know what I know? When I get behind this pulpit, what I realize more than anything is that God is still God. God is still God. And guess what, folks? He's going to keep being God. He's not going to change. This, everything in this life changes, but his word and him, they never change. Whatever God told you that he would do for you and your family, God's going to surely bring it to pass. This morning, I want to preach on a subject. I had somebody give me a really great compliment because, you know, when you work toward something, you like to know that you're getting there. It'd be very disheartening if you were working toward something and nobody could tell that's where you were trying to go. And so this week somebody said, you know, Pastor Kelly, what I really appreciate about your services is that you just talk about real stuff. And that's probably one of the best compliments that I've had as a pastor. Because you know what, Rosie? That's exactly what I want to do. That's it. If we can't come together and talk about what's actually really going on, we got no business being. Because life has a very bad habit of getting very real very quickly. In a moment, your life can change in a moment, for the better or for the worse. Now, we all know that that's true. And so this morning, I'm going to minister some things that God has been ministering to me. Now, I'm not one of those pastors that's going to stand up here and act to you like I'm perfect, because I'm going to tell you right here before we get started, I am not perfect. I am not politically correct. It is what it is. And so if you want a perfect pastor, you're going to have to go somewhere else, because you're not going to get that here. You're going to get somebody that's just, I'm going to just tell it like it is. And I'm just going to be a real person. And I've grown up in the ministry, and one of the things that I strive to be is just real. There's so much fakeness that goes on in today's society, and it's really just sickening. Y'all ever get sick of all that? I'm really quite sick of it. And I'm like, can we just all be real? Let's just be real, and let's try that, because you know what? That's refreshing. I want to see, God, what is real? You ever ask yourself, is this real? Is this feeling real? Is this life real? You know, sometimes you can wake up in your life and you can say, God, I don't even recognize my life. This is not how I thought it was going to be. See, when you wake up and you have those moments, you need to hold on to God, because you know darn sure he's holding on to you, and you're going to have to just hold on a minute. And so I want to preach this morning to you about something that I think most people, whether subconsciously or consciously, they have an issue with to some degree, and that's about judging people. Now, I thought Brother Larry was going to preach my message this morning, and I thought, Lord, we must have been on the same channel, because as I went to God in prayer, God said, Kelly, you know what? I want you to tell all my kids that it's not right to be judging folks. And I'm going to tell you, and I'm not afraid to tell you, that I sometimes am the most judgmental person that I know. And that's not right. No amens. I said, sometimes I am the most judgmental person that I know, and it's not right. Jeremy's going, amen. Thank God for Pastor Jer. But, you know, there are times where we're being away, and we've been that way for so long that we don't realize that what we're doing is we're actually judging people. And one of the things that I am striving really hard toward is to not be judgmental. The Kelly today is a very different Kelly than 3 years ago. There are things that I could not understand, that I did not understand, that I judged. And not only did I judge them, but I judged them really harshly. And God has had to work on this heart. And the way that he's worked on it is he has allowed me to go through things that I never thought I would go through. And in the middle of going through those things, what God was doing was, what his word says is, he said, you know what, I'm going to make that heart of stone a heart of flesh. There's so much of this. One thing that I see, and I see it over and over, people are losing their ability to feel. We live in a very desensitized society where people can't feel. They can't feel their emotions. They can't feel certain things. But what they do is they want to judge people off of a platform that they really aren't even standing on themselves. And so I want us to go this morning to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 1. And we're just going to talk about judging. And it says here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, do not judge, or you too will be judged. Now, I remember when I was a kid, I was a pyromaniac. Now I'm just a maniac. But I love to play with fire. One of the worst set of whoopings that I got was because I took a whole thing of matches and I just lit every single one of them, and I just kept on, and my daddy found them and he goes, who lit these matches? I said, I have no idea. That whole box just got lit, but I got nothing to do with it. Not a clue. Well, he jogged my memory. It took a few times, but he jogged my memory on that one. So he said, Kelly, if you light our house on fire, that's not going to be good. If you play with matches, you're going to light something up. Inevitably, you're only like 7 years old. You need to quit playing with them matches. You are not allowed to play with matches. I remember when we had our stove, and Dad would say, Don't put your hand over the stove. Now, how many of you have put your hand over a stove at some point in your life and you got burned? Okay, here's your pastor. We all saw your hands up. So I'm going to give you a very good piece of wisdom that comes straight up out of the Bible. It says, do not judge. Do not judge. Because when you do that, you are going to be judged. Just like when you put your hand over that flame or that stove and you're going to get burned because that was what that stove was meant to do, which was heat up and get hot. When you put yourself in that place where you think you are qualified to be judged, you're going to be judged. You're going to be judged. Now, how many of you are mature enough to say, I got my own stuff that I'm working out? Me too. How many of you got enough of your own stuff? You don't need nobody else's. Okay. Amen. Guess what we just discovered, Megan? We're all in the same place tonight, today. We all there. So it says, do not judge or you too will be judged. Okay? So, the first thing that I'm going to make, I know I've got people like my sister Casey and other folks, and they like to take notes. And I try to be conscious of those people. And I try to give you things that are noteworthy. So my first bullet point is, don't judge. It's just that simple. Don't do it. Because when you do it, you're going to be judged. You're going to be judged. How many of you have ever had an experience where you knew that somebody was judging you and they were judging you harshly and they were judging you inaccurately? How comfortable is that? There wasn't nothing that you could say that was going to get them to change their mind about you. They had their mind made up. A lot of that happens when people don't even know you. They'll make their mind up about you and they don't know who you even are. So it says, don't judge or you too will be judged. And in here in verse 2, it says, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. See, in the same way. In the same way that you're going to dish it out, that's the same way that you're going to give it, that's the same way you're getting it. And so when I look back at my life, I think, how have I judged? How did I judge? Because, see, the Word of God says, in the same way that you did it, it's coming back at you, that same way. Now, I don't know about y'all, and I can't speak for y'all, but I can tell you the way that I judged Jeff was harshly. When I cast judgment on people, I did it, and I was very harsh. Well, how could that happen? How could she do that? How could that guy do that? Well, now I'll tell you how they did it, because I didn't know what was going on with them in their life. How many of you... There are times in your own life you don't even know what's going on with yourself. And you're going, self, what is going on with me? See, we don't know everything about everybody. But when we see certain things in people's life, if we are not careful, we're going to get a judgmental, haughty spirit on us. And we're going to want to cast some judgment. And so the Word says that in the same way that you judge, that's how it's coming back to you. And then it goes a step further, and it says here, and with the same measure that you use it, it's going to be measured right back to you. Now, I used to never cook with a measuring cup. Never. Because I never really started cooking. But when God laid it on my heart to begin to cook for 155 senior citizens on Mondays, I discovered there were these things. And at first, I thought, I don't need that. I'm smart enough to eyeball what a cup is. Nope. Mary goes, Pastor, these potatoes are more like soup. I said, well, looks like they're having potato soup today. Instead of mashed potatoes and gravy. And what I want to tell you is, look here. Here's something that we can see. We all see this measuring cup. Imagine it full of judgment that we're going to pour out on somebody else's life. We don't know the whole thing about what they're going through. Look here. If you cast one cup of judgment, you're getting that one cup back. If you decide you're going to do two cups, you're going to get two cups back. Now, one of the things, my dad was a very, it's his birthday today, so I'm going to pull out little childhood memories, so y'all get ready. And he's just beaming over there because three out of his four girls are in service with him. And you know what? I thank God that he makes all grace abound. He has enough grace to pour out on your family that he can make all grace abound in every single way. But one of the things that Dad did, and I'll never forget it, there's times when you're raising your children that you have to be smarter than them. I mean, you need to be smarter than them all the time, but they can be very sneaky and crafty, and you got to be sneakier and craftier than they are. And we did something absolutely horrible. I'm not going to lie, and I'm not going to dare tell you what it was, but it was awful. And I won't tell you which sisters were involved, but almost all of them. And Dad said, you girls are all getting, and he named off however many licks we were getting. Now, for all you folks out there watching this, I was raised old school. And if you don't believe in whippings, then you just keep your hate mail, because we was whipped in our household, and look how great I turned out. I'm not that bad, all considering all the crazy things I've done in my life. But he said, you girls have got, I don't even remember how many, Jeff. I honestly, God, don't remember how many whippings. It was a lot. He said, you girls have got this many licks coming to you. And now here's the key. You ain't getting all them at the same time, because the half of this punishment is you're going to have to sit there and you're going to dread that punishment coming up on you, because you're going to learn in life that not every consequence that you get is going to happen immediately. Now here, where's my measuring cup? Here we go. So you're dishing out a cup full of judgment on somebody. Okay, great. You shouldn't be doing that. Pastor Dunn told you not to do that. Okay? Well, guess what? You got a cup coming back to you. Who knows when it's coming? See, you're going to reap what you sow. That, I believe, is for the believer and the non-believer. That is how life is. You're going to reap what you sow. You sow judgment, you're getting it back. You're getting it back the same measure that you gave it. God tells us, don't judge. Don't judge. Don't do that. Anybody love to see when their kids are suffering? I don't like it. God doesn't want to see us be judged. God doesn't want to see us hurt in our life. God, how many of you ever seen somebody that you really loved and you knew they were reaping what they've sown, but you still hurt for them? Look here, God don't want to see that. God would much rather see you being blessed and being happy and being whole. That's how God wants to see his kids. And so it says here, for in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure that you use it, it will be measured to you. And in verse 3 it says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? Now, what's alarming to me, you can go on any social media platform, you can go at the coffee shop, you can go anywhere, and you know what I see is people don't pay any attention to what's going on up in their own household. They don't pay any attention to what's going on in their own life, in their own marriage, in their own kids, but they're paying attention to everybody else's. And see, the word, it asks us, why are you doing that? Why are you looking at the speck over here at your brother when you got the national forest over here up in your own lap? Why are you doing that? And there's times where we need to take a step back and we need to ask ourselves, why am I this way? Why am I being judgmental of this person? Because see, God tells us not to do that. We need to ask ourselves, why am I doing this? You ever had that favorite secret sin, and when you got alone with yourself, you go, now, why am I really doing this? I know it's wrong, and I keep doing it. Is this too real for y'all? No. All right, because it's going to get more real. Brother Sam's back there snoozing. Hey, if you can snooze in my messages, you deserve it, brother. You sleep. That is the most precious man back there. So it says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? And then here, and this is what I love about God. God does not pull any punches with his kids. He doesn't. He will say whatever he needs to say. And in verse 5, he says, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye. So my first question to you is this right here. Are you man enough? Are you woman enough? Are you Christian enough? Are you saved enough to the point when you're being a hypocrite, can you say, why am I being a hypocrite? Why am I being a hypocrite? I've had God ask me, Kelly, why are you being a hypocrite? We have to be able to ask our own selves, why am I holding other people at a standard I don't even hold myself? Why am I judging this person when I'm doing the same thing and then some? We have to be able to be real. If there's one thing as a pastor that I can encourage you to do the most is be real. Be real. Everything in this life is trying to get you to be fake. Be real and keep it real. Be honest with yourself. And in the middle of all of that trying to figure out your life, don't be judging folks. People don't need your judgment. What they need is your love and your affection and just to say, hey, I'm here for you. I don't even have to know what's going on with you. I just love you. We don't have to know. And you know what? We don't have to have the answer for everybody's problems. That's what 2.5 years of pastoring has taught me. Boy, when we first started this out, I thought this is going to be a piece of cake. No, it's not. I found that out about day 2. And then I said, God, I think that people are expecting me to be Dr. Phil, and I don't have all the answers for these crazy things that's going on here. I barely can figure out my own self. Now, Lord, why did you call me to this? Because I don't have all the answers for these problems. He said, Kelly, you don't have to have the answers. Just point them to me. Point them to me. Okay, God, I can do that. I'm going to point them to you. Look here. Hold on to God. Hold on to him. There's going to be things that happen in your life that makes you want to let go of God a little bit or a lot of it. Hold on to him. Hold on to him. He's holding on to you, but look here, that goes both ways. You better hold on to God. So it says here, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then look what happens when we do that. Now look here. There's a few planks in my own eye. There's a few planks in my own life. There's something that happens when we start taking that plank out of our own eye. The second part of this verse, it says, and then you will see clearly. See, you can't see clearly. A lot of times, and we're looking at other people, and we're speculating, and we're thinking about everything they're doing, and we got to turn that to us and, okay, let's fix me first because I got my hands full with me. Let's look at me. So it says, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. There's a point in our Christian walk where if we'll hold back our tongue and we'll not judge people, God will be able to use you to help people to remove the little speck out of their eye. But he can't use you in a judgmental place. There's been times where I have gone through things that I thought would break me to the point I would never be able to be again. Things, some of the worst mountain, awful God things that I have been in were problems that I did not create for myself. The worst stuff I've been through is things that I did not create. And I said, God, why did you allow this to happen to me? I did not bring this problem on for myself, and I've done my best to make decisions to where I wouldn't have these problems, and yet here I am with these problems. You got to hold on to God, because here's the thing. you really want to be a child of God, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you some battles that you didn't want to fight. I've been able to, Lindsay, I've been able to minister to more people because of the things I went through that I didn't bring on for myself than my actual things that I did to myself. I've been able to sit across from people and say, you know what, I've been exactly where you're at. And what I can tell you is if you'll hold on, it's going to get better. What I can tell you is that God's not finished. What I can tell you is that God is faithful. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. What he did for you yesterday, he will do for you today. He'll definitely do it for you tomorrow. See, there's things that you've been through, and you're sitting there and you're going, God, why am I in the middle of this? Why did this happen to me? Look here. Sometimes it's not all about you. Sometimes there's a person that God wants to bring up in your life, and he wants you to be able to say, I done been through this, and you're going to be okay. See, we have to realize that not all of our battles have everything to do with us. Sometimes some of what we go through is to be able to help other folks. But we can't help them if we're judging them. And so it says, then you will be able to see clearly and remove the speck from your brother's eye. When we have junk in our own life, we can't see clearly ourselves. So let's go to Luke chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 37. And you know, last night I was like, God, are you sure you want to talk about this? Some messages, I'm like, are you really sure? Okay. I know it's a problem I have. There's times, even still, as much as I've worked on this, there's times where in a moment of whatever, I'm judging. And God said, yeah, Kelly, what's good for the pastor is good for the congregation. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. What's good for the sheep is good for the shepherd. So, yes. You're going to talk about being judgmental. I said, okay, God, here we go. So it says in verse 37, do not judge and you will not be judged. And see, we've read this. There's so many places in God's word where it says, I don't want you to judge because when you do, you're going to be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Now, when I read, I've heard the word condemn and I know what it means, but I thought, just for giggles, I want to see what actually comes up as a definition of condemning, because there's three things that it tells us. It says, don't judge, don't condemn, and you better forgive. There's three major things, and so many people fall into judging, condemning, and not forgiving. And so the definition of condemn is the expression of very strong disapproval. Disapproval. How many of you have disapproved someone and you wanted them to know about it? Okay. Now, I'm going to share out of my own life, because if I share out of anybody else's, people will get offended, and I don't have anybody else's life to really share out of. So, in our family, and our family is like an open book, and we've gotten used to that. We've had that our whole lives. There have been times where I was not 100% pleased with my family, with a member of a family, or this, or that. In my crazy head, what I thought was going to help the situation was, especially with my sisters. Look here. Brothers were born for adversity, and sisters were born for petty drama. And there's four of us, so look here, we'll pick on each other, but by golly, ain't nobody else better do that. And there have been times where I loved people so much, and I wanted them to do something the way I thought that they should do something, and when they wouldn't do it, it made me really disapprove of them. And to get my point across to them, what I would do is give them the silent treatment to teach them real good I was not approving. Has anybody else tried that? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. So you can't go around condemning people and disapproving. There's been people that I've disapproved of, and I didn't even know a fraction of what they were going through. And it says here, do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. When is the last time you had an opportunity to just be absolutely judgmental as all get out? And you said, now hold on, self. We're going to change this narrative, and we're not going to be a judgmental jerk. We're just going to be real. And we're going to love this person, and we're going to help them get through this by loving them. By loving them. So give, and it will be given to you. Give, and it will be given to you. When I can look back and I think of some of the gut-wrenching things that have come up in my life, there were times where what I really, really needed and what I really, really wanted was just somebody to be there. There's something about when you're going through a battle that it just makes you feel totally lonely. There's something about really struggling that it makes you feel like I am isolated and I am all alone. See, give and it's going to be given to you. Give, and it's going to be given to you. Now, I'm going to brag on my sweet Keisha girl for just a minute. I led Keisha to the Lord over 2 years ago, and she is not the same person. And let me tell you, I've grown up in the ministry my whole life, and I've spent most of my life being judgmental. I'm not afraid to tell you that. Why? Because I'm not that person anymore. If I was still that person, I couldn't say that. And anyways, I've spent so much time hearing everybody's stuff and hearing their problems and all of this stuff and playing Dr. Phil and all this stuff. Well, how many know that I'm a person too? And at some point, I'm going to have myself a good fat pity party or meltdown. I do. I remember one particular day, I was having an absolute, complete, total meltdown. Now, the only thing that I can say about my meltdowns is I am a very sweet meltdowner person, because I will give you fair warning, I'm about to have a meltdown. And I'm just telling you so you can know how to act. And I was in the car with Keisha, and I just began to just sob. And I'm not a pretty crier. I'm not somebody that once I get started crying, I can stop. No, there's no turning that off. It's an ugly cry, and I don't even know how long it's going to last. So we're sitting in the car, and here's Keisha, and I'm just having a meltdown. And I don't like to have meltdowns in front of my folks, because something about that makes me feel like I'm not being a good pastor. But I couldn't even hold it back. I was going to have that meltdown, and I did. And I kind of opened my eye, and I squinted at Keisha. I said, Keisha, what do you think? Am I just crazy? And she said, you know how many times I've wondered if you were a human? I was still having a little bit of a meltdown. She goes, I have really wondered if you were human or not. And this makes me feel a lot better. And she goes, you know how many times I've cried to you and I've listened to you? If you'll give, you're going to get that back. What do you really want when you're struggling? What you want is a friend. What you want is somebody that says, hey, I'm with you. I'm with you if you're wrong. I'm with you if you're right. I'm with you. That's what you want. You know, you can't get what you want by being judgmental. I tell this stuff to my kids all the time. You're not going to get a toy from mama when you're acting like a little hellion. It's just not going to happen. If you'll act like a sweet little boy that I'm trying to raise you to be, then you're going to get what you want. But if you ain't acting like that sweet boy, you're not getting nothing from me. It's the same thing with our life. What do you really want out of life? then act accordingly. What you want out of life is what you're going to give into life. What do you want? So it says here in Luke chapter 6, verse 37, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, okay? We have our measuring cup. Over and over, when it talks about not judging people, it uses the word measure. Because, see, look here, every bit of judgment that we give, there's a measure to it. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. With that same measure. Let's go to Acts chapter 28. And we're going to look here. And any pastor that can't give you chapter and verse for what they're talking about, they shouldn't be pastoring. Now, I know that sounds a little judgmental, but that's why we're preaching about being judgmental. No pun intended. Come on now. Are y'all sleeping? Are y'all awake? I'm trying to make you laugh. There's been so many people crying this morning, I'm thinking we got to get some people laughing because I don't like to see people upset and crying. So Acts chapter 28, we're going to look at verse 1. And we're talking about Paul here. And it says, once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. And the islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. And Paul gathered a pile of brushwood and as he put it on the fire, a viper or a snake, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. Now, here's what we see. Here's Paul, and Paul is going along in everyday life. Okay? How many of you out there and watching Facebook Live, how many of you could say, you know, I'm just a person. I'm just a normal person. Okay? I'm as normal as I can possibly be. Well, we all have what is to us our everyday life. We have our jobs. We have our children. We have our families. Okay? So, Rosie, here's Paul. And he gets on this island called Malta, which makes me want a milkshake. So he's there. And he's getting firewood. And if there's a snake and you're lighting wood on fire, guess what? It's going to come out. So, of course, as he's lighting the fire, this snake comes out and it gets a hold of him and it bites him. Now, I don't know about y'all. Here's my problem. And I think Brother Larry knows this. He's got kids that was raised in the ministry. Here's an issue that I have to overcome. I've been raised up in the ministry, and I've been in church every time the church doors were open. So there's things that I struggle with that normal people don't struggle with because they ain't had to be up in church their whole life, and they wasn't here every day that the doors were open. Now, one of the things that I struggle with is my judgmental self, because when something bad happens to folks, my religious mind, and I want to say that religion will kill folks. Religion is not godly. Religion will tell you you have to look a certain way to come up in God's house and take a seat. I'm telling you, as your pastor, as long as everything is covered as best as you can, I want you to come up in here and sit down. You don't have to look a certain way to come up in here. You don't have to smell a certain way to come up in here. You don't have to be fine on the inside to come up in here. Look here, if you're broken on a one day, I want you to come up in here and be broken. I want you to let us all love on you. One of the things that I struggle with is just because of, you just hear it all, is when things happen to folks. The other day, okay, I'll have to use myself as an example. I was delivering meals on Monday night to those precious senior citizens that I adore. And up in the middle of that good deed, I nearly lost my life. when some crazy bus driver decided they wanted to mull me and Phyllis Jean over. And then I proceeded to wait 2 months for my car to come back. Now, that car is like a member of my family. On Thanksgiving, I have a place setting for that car at the table because that's how much I love it. I know that sounds terrible. How many of you got a car you love? That's not a sin. My kids go, you love that car more than you love us. I'm like, no, but don't tempt me. Okay? Get your little grubby paws off that car. So, and God bless Larry Heiss. I'm going to give him a commercial right up in the middle of this message. If he wasn't saved before I got a hold of him, he's probably saved now. Because I know I was making him pray. Because he was so sick of me calling him every day for 2 months. And he finally got me on the phone. He goes, Kelly, will you please come pick this Palisade up? Please, for the love of God, come get your car. I said, I'll be right there. Praise the Lord. Okay? I get in that car. I did not even make it down Larry's driveway. If I'm on, I'm done. That thing had a flat. And I feel that devil wanting to crawl up under my skin and get me agitated. My crazy religious self, in my brain, I said, what have I done wrong, Lord, to deserve this? God said, nothing. This is just something that happens. Here's Paul. He's getting firewood. He's lighting that fire. A snake comes and bites him. You can call it what you want, but there's things that happen in life. Not everything is because of you just did a number 10 and God's showing you. It's not how life is. So here's Paul, a viper driven out by the heat, fastens itself on his hand. And when the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, what did they do? They judged him. They said to each other, realize, to each other, see, when you want to have a judgmental thought, you need to keep that to yourself. You need to poison other folks with that. So they said to each other, this man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. Now, that sounds like a really self-righteous thing to say. Because he got snake bit, he's done something terrible, and God's showing him. We can't walk in judgment like that. How many times has something happened to somebody, and you thought, well, I guess they were slipping up in their life, and that's why that happened. Something bad happened to somebody. Well, you know, if they wouldn't have given me that dirty-looking Walmart, that probably wouldn't have happened. Some people just have a dirty look on their face, and it doesn't have nothing to do with you. All right? That's why I'm thankful for these masks. All I got to do is make sure these eyelashes are on point, and I'm good. And they are on point, and I make sure of it. Because a lot of times this face ain't matching up with how I really feel in life. So here he is, and here's this snake, and it's dangling from his arm, and all these people are going, well, that's what he gets. There must be something wrong with him. Look here, wasn't nothing wrong with the man. A snake came out because he lit some wood on fire, and it got him. But he had an audience there. So here, now we go on, and it says, Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. And here's one of the things that I want to really pull out of this whole situation. I've been telling you all day, don't judge people. Don't judge people. And I can't hammer that in enough. Okay, let's flip that around. How many of you, you've been judged and you knew you were being judged? Okay. We just read out of God's Word. See, if somebody can't show you something in the Word of God, there's no truth to it. If it's not in the Word, it's not true. Paul shook the snake off into the fire. Look here. When you're being judged harshly, incorrectly, inadequately, shake it off. Shake it off. There's a man that we dearly, dearly love to the point that we named our center after him, and his name was Mark Bain. There will never be another Mark Bain, ever. And one of the things that he would say, shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. When somebody's judging you and you're going through some of the worst stuff that you've gone through in your life, shake it off. Shake it off. Doesn't matter what they think. Doesn't matter what they say. Doesn't matter how they treat you. Shake that off. Shake it off. The quicker you can shake that stuff off, the better you're going to be. Shake it off. You don't need that judgment. We've taken ownership of judgments that were misplaced by other people, and you need to let those go. So we see Paul. Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. So look here, you're going to have people in your life, they're going to think, well, they messed up and this happened, and so this stuff is going to go wrong with them. I've heard it my whole life. Oh, because of this person, doesn't it? And and we keep on. And we start trying to prophesy what's going to happen with people's lives. You can't prophesy that. Look here. So here they are, and they're saying this about Paul. Well, he's going to swell up. He's going to fall dead. All this bad stuff's going to happen to him. Look here. None of that happened. Didn't happen. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds. So now the people that were saying he was awful, he was a murderer, they've changed their minds, and now they're saying that he was a god. Well, this terrible thing happened to him? He must be a murderer. He didn't fall over dead. Well, because he didn't die over it, he must be a god. Can you admit that you're kind of fickle sometimes? I'm a very fickle person. And there are times where I will think something about somebody that I don't really know, but after I've gotten to know them and to look at their life, I realize that that person wasn't at all what I thought that they were, all those mean, nasty things. So what we have to do is we have to realize, and I read this. I wrote it down, and it says, we shouldn't judge others for many reasons, but one of the main reasons we shouldn't judge is because we can wrongly interpret what's going on in people's lives. We can wrongly interpret what's really going on with them. There are things about people, and we're maybe thinking such and such is going on with them, and it may not have no more to do with that situation than anything. Don't make that mistake of judging somebody, because the truth of the matter is you're probably going to judge them wrong. You probably don't really know the whole story, and whatever is probably a speculation. Let's go to Romans chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 1 through 4. And verse 1 says here, you, therefore, have no excuse. You who pass judgment on someone else. My kids are the absolute worst with excuses. Does anybody else have children like that? I don't know. But mine have more excuses. More weird excuses that I've never heard. And I was a very creative child growing up, and I have not even heard some of this stuff that I've heard coming out of those boys. And the things that I catch myself having to tell them not to do out loud is insane. Don't put a booger on your brother. Why am I having to say this out loud? You should know not to do that. That's just one of the things that I can actually repeat out loud. The other stuff, we're not, none of us in our family are owning up to the things we have to say to these boys. But it says, you therefore, you have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself. Because you who pass judgment do the same thing. I'm not proud of it. I'm working hard not to be this. There are times I have judged. Right in the middle of judging them, I was doing the same thing that that person was doing that I was judging them to begin with. Can you admit that when you're that way? Can you step back and say, you know what, I'm not going to judge them because look here, I've done that. It's humbling and it's godly when we can just say, I'm not going to judge that person, I'm just going to love them. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such thing is based on truth. That's why we shouldn't be judging people. We don't know it all. We don't know what they're going through. God's judgment is based on truth. God knows it all. He knows every ounce of their situation. He knows it. And when God judges, he judges off of absolute truth. Nothing more, nothing less. Just truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance? There have been times where I was in sin and I knew that I was sinning. How many of you know when you're sinning? Good. That means you don't have a seared conscience. And I thought, God, are you going to strike me dead? Guess what? He didn't. Still living and breathing and talking today. But his love for me and the fact that, yeah, he had reason to punish me. He had reason to do whatever. God has lots of reasons. But he didn't. But because he loved me and I could feel that love that he had for me, that love pushed me to where I really needed to be and where God really wanted me to be, which was repentance. What is repentance? When you stop doing the wrong thing that you're doing. That is true repentance. Anybody can say, I'm sorry. We have a saying in our house, and my husband has coined it. And when he says it, I'm just like, God, I'm so tired of hearing that. I don't want to hear that anymore. My kids will say, I'm sorry, Daddy. He'll say, don't be sorry, just be different. Act different. And I know how my mom feels now because we had a saying in our house, foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from you. And I'm going, how many licks did I rack up in church? And my poor kids, poor Jeremy, don't be sorry, just act different. And I'm tired of hearing it, and he's tired of saying it. And my kids are probably tired of hearing it. Guess what? They got about 15 more years. They're going to keep hearing it. But God's kindness leads us towards repentance. God's kindness does. God's love for us is what guides us through us changing our ways. Nothing else. Last place for me is Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. And this is where we have to be very level-headed, and we have to realize we're all just folks. We're all just people. Nobody's no better. Nobody's no worse. There are people that have made different life decisions than you, and you know what? That's okay. You're not there to judge them, and they're not there to judge you. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. Can you look back in your life at that person that you want to be judgmental of? Can you look and can you see, at one point in time, I was guilty of the same thing. At one point in time, I was slipping up and I was doing this and I shouldn't have been. At one point in time, yeah, I did that. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of our God, of God our Savior, appeared, he saved us. See, at just that right moment, not because he was a mean God, not because he was a bad God, but because he was a God of love, that love is what truly saved us. When you think about how much God's loved you, does that not make you fall all over in love with him again? I've done some awful, awful things in my life. I've done things I'm embarrassed of. I've done things I'm ashamed of. When I think about to the degree, to the measure that God loved me out of that. Has God not loved you out of some things? If he would have been a mean God, I would have been still doing them things. But because of his love, I stopped. That's why people, they don't need your judgment. You don't have to agree. You can agree to disagree, but still go on loving. And it says here, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. And he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. And that's what I've decided to minister on this morning. If I could have my music, that would be great. I don't really sit here and wonder why I wanted to preach this or why God wanted me to preach it. I know, because you know what, Aunt Patty? There's still times where I'm judgmental. God will send people. He wants to send people along your path that only you can minister to. Only you can love on. Only you can look them in the face and say, hey, you're going to be okay. I've been through this. I made it out just fine, and you're going to make it out just fine. We can't do that being judgmental jerks. Now, that may not be politically correct to say, but I said it and I stand behind it. If you really want to let God use you, let God be kind to people through you. So many people think, well, I don't know if I want God to do this because it may... No, look here. If you'll just be a vessel where God can be kind to other people through you, that's what God really needs. He needs one person that says, Lord, I want to be kind to somebody today. Put them in my path. Y'all stand to your feet. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for this day, Lord, for this message. God, I thank you for our lunch that we are about to eat and receive. Lord, I ask that you bless every person. God, for every person, God, I thank you that this word was planted. God, I thank you that you're watering it and you're causing it to grow. We love you so much, Lord, and we praise you for everything that you've done, God. In Jesus' name, amen.